Thanks. Good morning. Good morning. So shifting gears now, quite drastically actually, I'm going to talk about some qualitative research we did with African American consumers to inform some of our health communication efforts. And I should actually have the CDC disclaimer on here, my apologies, but what I'm about to present represents my opinions and co-author opinions and not CDC. So as background, I'm not going to belabor this first point. I think most people in this room are quite familiar with the disparities we see in STD rates, and although African Americans represent about 12% of the population, they bear a disproportionate burden of STD morbidity in the U.S. These disparities are the result of individual, social, and structural determinants. And so we recognize that interventions are needed at multiple levels. But among the interventions that have been called on by experts, health communication efforts represent one piece of this puzzle. And experts have said that health comm efforts can actually help raise awareness of the problem in African American communities, help to minimize stigma, and to promote STD prevention and testing behaviors. So that said, the most effective messaging for doing this is really unknown. And typically, health communication efforts have been driven by our public health priorities and by funding, which is often very STD specific. There's been syphilis elimination efforts, chlamydia screening efforts. More recently, though, there's been a push towards a more holistic approach to doing this and to integrating both our health communication messaging and our services. So our research sought to explore African American audiences' understandings and conceptualization of STDs and HIV and how and whether we could bundle messages. Specifically, we wanted to look at their preferences for messaging that focuses on an individual STD versus the bundling of multiple STDs, non-HIV STDs, and then a combination of bundled STDs and HIV. I don't know why it's doing that, but it's okay because we're now at methods. So we conducted individual interviews and triads, which is small group discussions of three people, in four U.S. communities, two urban and two rural, with heterosexual, sexually active African-American adults ages 18 to 45. And we segmented the triads by age, gender, and urban and rural location. And then we used a loosely structured guide to explore participants' initial reactions to the word STD. We did this through free associations. We also explored their STD-related concerns, whether they were generic and general versus specific to a particular STD, and then their preferences for receiving STD and HIV information. We also conducted a card sorting exercise where we had individual STDs and HIV listed on cards, and we asked participants to separate them into piles that made sense to them based on how they perceived different STDs. And after they had separated and sorted their piles, we asked them to walk us through their rationale for categorizing them the way they had. Discussions were audio taped and transcribed, and then three analysts coded the transcripts using InVivo. For the card sorting exercise, analysts hand-coded the names and descriptions of the sorted piles based on the transcripts and then identified salient categories or strategies through an iterative process. We also used multidimensional scaling or MDS and cluster analysis for the card sorting exercise, and this was to visually lay out the similarities and differences between STDs. So we ended up with 158 sexually active men and women who participated in our triads and interviews. And the participants were about evenly split between gender, age, income, and education segments. We had recruited a majority of single participants for obvious reasons, I guess. So results from our free associations exercise, and this was basically the moderator asked participants, when I say the word STD, what comes to your mind? And what we found, first and foremost, people tended to list off risk or protective behaviors that either would lead to or help prevent STDs. So things like it's the result of unprotected sex, multiple sex partners, careless behavior, or the need for personal responsibility. We heard a lot about needing to use condoms and know your partner. There was some judgment, as you could even tell in some of these responses, with regard to things like careless behavior, and stigma was certainly something that came through, both in reference to people who have STDs and to a hypothetical diagnosis. A lot of people talked about how they would feel if they had an STD. I would feel yucky, dirty, bad. People with STDs are unclean. For men, we heard sometimes the term loose women came up. Most participants named common STDs that had come to mind, and oftentimes this included HIV. When this happened, they were probed. It's a hint. So when they did name HIV, they were further probed, you know, so do you think HIV is an STD then? And what we often heard was that, yes, it is sexually transmitted, although it was also acknowledged that HIV could be transmitted in other ways other than through sex, and that it was by far the worst because it's the most deadly, so it stands out. We also heard that it gets more media attention, and so that gave the impression that either it was more prevalent and or that it was a more important health issue for them to be keeping in mind. We asked participants if they worry in general about getting any STD or if there's a particular STD that they worry about. And what we heard overall was that they worry about getting any STD. But when they thought about it, because this was part of our study, HIV came up as the greatest concern. And then herpes and syphilis were second and third in terms of frequency of response. And here we have a quote from a female participant who says, "I think people worry most about HIV/AIDS. Of course, genital herpes, because there is no cure and they are always going to have that. I'm sure that syphilis or chlamydia or gonorrhea, one of those has no cure, but I'm not sure which one it is, but you always have that." So results from our card sorting exercise actually revealed similar findings about the importance of curability and severity as important attributes by which participants grouped the STDs. They also clustered, the STDs also clustered based on those that were stigmatizing, common, similarly treated, and bacterial or viral, although to a lesser extent. So just to go back to this diagram, which kind of illustrates what I was just saying, test this out. Okay, so to the right of this diagram, and it's actually hard to read, sorry, so there's hepatitis, HIV, and syphilis, which are sort of the incurable and serious STDs, and then as you move to the left, here we have genital warts and genital herpes, which are also incurable but less serious. HPV is up there also. You'll notice also that these are sort of the viral STDs that group together. And then as you move down towards the bottom are the curable and less serious STDs, which also are bacterial. But like I said, the bacterial and viral attributes were less commonly mentioned. And this slide lists the top 10 sorting strategies identified by participants. I won't mention all of them, but I will say what really came through during this exercise as they were trying to explain how and why they sorted the different STDs was that there were a lot of misconceptions. And so what was categorized, let's say, as deadly, herpes and gonorrhea came up frequently in that pile. And so a lot of misconceptions, a lot of very superficial knowledge. I mean, you can see the third most commonly used strategy was actually, I've never heard of these, and I've heard of these. And that was actually more common in the rural areas. Among those participants, they also tended to list a larger number of STDs in that pile. In addition to differences that came through by urban and rural setting, we also saw differences by gender and age. For example, the fifth strategy, whether an STD can be acquired non-sexually, was more frequently used by women than men. And those that were acquired non-sexually were generally seen as less stigmatizing. We asked participants if there was going to be a campaign about STDs, and we didn't specify whether it was awareness, testing campaign, or prevention. But how would you like to receive information? Would you like to receive it about an individual STD, about all STDs, or about STDs and HIV? And I think, I mean, that's a hard question for people to really conceptualize and think about what they would want. But overall, what we heard was that they would want to see a campaign about all STDs, including including HIV, although they thought that each STD should be individually explained within the campaign so that it would be a general campaign for STD prevention or STD testing, and then you can get specific information about individual STDs. They thought it was important because they acknowledged that few people know about individual STDs, but that they recognized that each STD probably had different symptoms, modes of transmission, and treatment. They said that if information were to be combined, that they should basically be combined based on, you know, those that were curable or not, those that were treatable in the same way, and those that have similar symptoms. One thing I should mention that I skipped on the visual slide with the graph was that the STDs with visible symptoms were often noted as the most stigmatizing, so things like herpes, genital warts, pubic lice. And here we have a quote from a male participant who said, because you need to protect yourself from all of them, meaning all the STDs, so why not get tested for anything and learn how to protect yourself from all of them? So not just one or two, or not just the ones that might kill you, all of them, because all of them can, you know, keep a partner from wanting to have sex with you. So to conclude, I think it's fair to say that STDs are generally understood as a bundled and rather stigmatized concept. HIV is viewed by many as an STD. It is sexually transmitted, and they acknowledge that, though it stands out because of its severity and potentially fatal nature. Specific knowledge of individual STDs is low overall, and I should say, having done a lot of focus groups with other populations, that this is pretty much true in general of the public. And the findings from both the qualitative questions and from the card sorting exercise support the bundling of STDs for a public campaign. However, I think it's important for us to recognize that all STDs are not viewed equally, and they're differentiated by specific attributes, which may be real or perceived. Sometimes the way the public actually thinks about an STD is not quite right, and it also doesn't always align with the public impact of an STD. So herpes was something that was highly stigmatized and that a lot of people worry about, although it often doesn't make it onto our public health priorities. Some implications are just that programs should consider whether there's a strategic goal for message bundling. I think for a general awareness campaign or to promote healthcare-seeking behaviors, it may make sense for us to bundle our messages. Also, because all STDs are stigmatized for a general stigma reduction effort, I think this also makes sense. But we should keep in mind that some STDs may be more feared than others. Some may be of greater concern, and so if we're promoting testing for a specific STD, lumping it with other STDs that may be less feared, that may be more feared, might actually, work against our purpose. So I'm thinking here about, you know, chlamydia screening. Chlamydia was not generally something seen as a big deal. If we want to promote chlamydia screening, we might be doing ourselves a disservice by lumping it with HIV. Future research should test whether bundled or individual messages are more acceptable, more relevant and understandable to audiences, and whether they're more effective. We just asked participants what they thought, which I think is very different than actually testing specific messages in a research setting, let alone in the real world, if we could actually do that and compare different messages in a real setting. And I would just like to acknowledge some colleagues at RTI and CDC, if I can get back to that. Some of our colleagues who've been involved in this effort. And thank you.